wrong side of the pond. He is DJ Schweitzer. I am Jeremy Lance. Hi.
This is what it sounds like when you edit the start of a podcast.
Oh, oops.
Yeah.
Well, I did edit it. I just chose not to send you said edited version.
And then I did the ultimate sin as well of not listening to the file before uploading it. So it was a double whammy. What was fun, though, was reading everyone's tweets, trying to figure out, like, did you guys mean to do this?
What happened? What?
Why are we hearing your engagement stories? It's not, at least we didn't do anything that was like ultra embarrassing, or we said anything that was like really offensive, which are things that sometimes get said before we actually hit the record button here. But yeah, this week we're hopefully giving you what we think would be an actually like edited, modified, and cleaned up show.
That's the plan.
You know, what's crazy is we're like approaching 200 episodes.
Yeah.
And that's the first time that's happened.
Yep. Almost 200 episodes. Last week, not one of our high moments.
Still.
Not one of the better ones.
Nearly 200 episodes in and still amateur hour here on the podcast.
Welcome aboard.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been a rough couple weeks.
Yeah.
Being the FC Cincinnati social media director.
Yeah, that's not helping things.
No, it didn't necessarily go according to plan the last few weeks, but the sky is not falling here in FCC land.
No.
We
do have to talk about a land that you do love, that where the sky is falling though at some point.
We will.
I mean,
we will.
Yeah,
we'll get there. We will get there. But I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Doing great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No league tonight for you, so we're getting started.
Not in the early hours. Like, if something were to have happened in our last podcast and mm-hmm. there was a police report, it would be referred to as the early hours of Tuesday morning.
Yes. Because it was really early by the time we finished that thing up. Nearly 2 o'clock, I think. So we're back a few hours. You're hopefully getting us a little bit more fresh. Hopefully that means you're getting an edited show. And it's a good one this week because
you get to sulk?
I guess. It's basically me just saying,
after you came out, after the high of last week, hey, guess what's canceled? Woo!
Yeah.
Second Arsenal. We're going to get a slightly different.
Going
to guess a different tone.
It's different in that, like, I'm not as celebratory this week.
Okay.
It's more like I saw this coming, so yay. I don't know.
I think the best Spurs related tweet I saw was somebody tweeting it. This really sucks, losing this match, because that with losing this match, that means we finished in second. Had we not lost this match, we would have finished in second.
Yeah. And that's really like the point that I was making, like, what is this, a month ago on this very show?
Sure.
Was making the point, like, yeah, Tottenham have a chance, but we don't really have a chance. Like, we're not going to catch Chelsea. And what was it that I said? We have to remain perfect from here on out.
And Chelsea have to swan dive.
Yes. And, oh, by the way, neither of those things happened. So, predictably, we're getting the results we were all expecting.
Speaking of swan dive, let's check out fantasy, as I'm sure I've continued my descent in Premier League fantasy.
You'll be delighted to know you did not actually take a swan dive. You stayed right where you were.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so not bad, but not
sure.
Good. So you're still at 52nd place.
If you're not going down, it's good, in my book.
I suppose that's true. I fell 3 places to 48th, so I'm still maintaining my little buffer ahead of you. I think it's just
slightly
14 points between the two of us at the moment. So you could still very, very easily overtake me with the remaining weeks left. At the top of the league, Terry Ellsworth Scouser United sitting on top of the table.
This is a new leader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an interesting finish at the very end of this league.
Good job, Terry.
Yeah, way to go. In the MLS League, we have a new leader as well. Derek Friedman's The Committee now sits atop of the heap, becoming the 4th leader in the last 4 weeks in that league. I improved 4 places to 37th. You also moved 0 in this league as well, but you remain bottom of the pile, 57th place in the MLS Fantasy League. There is your update. In fantasy sorrows, should we move over into my real world sorrows?
Spurs, 0. West Ham, 1.
Damn it.
As the London Stadium finally looked to be the fortress West Ham always wanted it to be.
I don't know that fortress is maybe the right way of describing
it. Well, they had an alleged title contender show up, and they left with 0 goals.
All right. It's fortressy enough for one night.
Let's go.
If there was a game that I had to have circled before this like lead-in stretch where I said, here's where Spurs are going to trip up, there is a 100% probability I would have circled this game. West Ham have been like Tottenham's bogey team for like the last 4 years. And it was a couple years ago. They beat us 3 times in one season, which is the direction the two clubs are heading. It makes absolutely no sense at all. But this just seemed like the perfect game for Spurs to trip up, and trip up they did.
I think the frustrating thing, even as someone who, I was going to say a neutral for this match, but I guess I'm technically not that.
I wouldn't call you a neutral.
No, I guess I shouldn't have. But as someone who is not a fanboy of either.
Sure.
And I think just to the larger extent, with Spurs, because you guys lost this and because Chelsea essentially have things locked up, we'll talk about what they did today in a moment, the whole, you know, that word has popped up about Spurs.
Oh, Spursy.
Not even that one. Just the standard old, did they bottle it?
Bottling it is...
I agree.
Bottling it means you lost something that you had already. There's nothing bottled here. Tottenham never held the lead. Never really looked all that likely to take it. It was all like optimistic scenarios that had to unfold in order for Tottenham to get onto the top. So did they bottle it? Yeah, they maybe folded under the pressure a little bit. But bottling it, that's going a step too far.
That's what's I saw a lot of that being thrown out Friday after they lost, that the, Spurs have bottled this, Spurs has bottled this. Mind you, most of that commentary coming from clubs whose teams were really never in it. The Arsenals, the Uniteds.
Yeah. There were a fair few Tottenham fans that were actually saying that as well.
Saying that you guys bought, they were saying
we
bottled it.
Well, I feel like, you know, I made the sky is falling comment earlier in reference to another team that I have an association with, but...
Uh-huh.
A little bit the sky was falling for Tottenham fans in this match. Like, everyone, you had our own fans saying that we were bottling it. You look at the Kyle Walker situation and how he is apparently unsettled. By the way, he looked like a guy who was unsettled in this match, looked really, really poor. And everyone being like, oh, this is the start of us losing everyone. Like, guys, Kieran, I don't know if you noticed, Kieran Trippier has been awesome this year.
Yeah.
I think we'll be okay without Kyle Walker. And we're going to get a boatload of money for him.
So let's hit that real quick. I think Spurs, obviously not being able to see out this fight to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Do you worry what the next – because we are kind of in that prime window for Spurs. They're going to do something amazing with the insane amount of young talent they have. You know, it's a finite amount of time before that window closes and some of those guys get sold off or guys start, you know, coming down from these high performances. Are you worried about where you guys stand in that window?
Tremendously worried. I mean, and you throw in the whole they're going to be playing at Wembley every game next season. And it's another one of those, like, with how poorly they've done in that particular arena, you think to yourself, like, man, you lose a couple pieces here, and all of a sudden, like, we could be back in the same spot we were a few years ago. Like, that is very much the massive fear that I think every Tottenham fan is having at the moment. And I'd be lying if I said I wasn't concerned about it. Like, does Dele Alli leave this summer? Like that's the other one that no one's really talking as much about right now.
Do you think how probable any of that is? Like, what do you see the window at right now? Like, how many seasons does this current squad, for the most part, the core of it, have together before guys start getting picked off?
I would say two at most. Like, okay, next season is probably the make or break, which sucks because
you're at Wembley.
We're at Wembley, and you really want it to make that next year. And I think the way that Daniel Levy, the chairman, has been playing his cards of late, that he's trying to line it up so that we have our strongest team possible heading into that last or that first year in the new stadium. And I would imagine that he's going to break his wage structure more than a couple times to make that happen. So, I wouldn't be shocked at all if Kyle Walker were to go. I think we're destined to lose one piece this year, but I think of all the ones that we have, he's the most replaceable and most easily replaced.
Right. I mean, you essentially already figured that out.
Mm-hmm. So do I have concern? Yeah, I do. But I think next year we'll be able to keep a majority of it together. But look, if we finish outside the top four, I think that's a very easy way to see a couple people get shifted off. And then beyond that, you know, does someone come at us with $100 million plus offer for a Dele Alli? And can you really say no in that type of scenario? So
someone United comes for Harry Kane.
I'm not as concerned about Kane. A few years ago, everyone was really worried about Kane. I'm not overly concerned about that. I'd be far more concerned about seeing, like, an Eriksen leave. Like, he's a harder piece probably to replace. He's not maybe as appreciated as much. And then a Dele Alli is just one of those once every type of generational type players that comes through and is completely different than any of the other ones that are coming through in his particular position. So, yeah, I'm concerned, but I'm not quite as concerned as maybe everyone else is.
Second place, though, for you guys, essentially locked up.
Yeah.
I don't see how. I mean, you would take
It would take some mighty, mighty Spursy attitudes at this point forward to actually lose that second spot.
So, I mean, we always wait till the end of the season to kind of do the whole eulogy thing that we like to do, but just kind of a quick little temp check on
pre-eulogy.
I don't know if that is a thing. Like, you think someone's going in?
Yeah.
Going on in?
Yeah.
Was this season a success or a failure?
I think it totally
was. What do you feel like that?
If you look at it from a pure table standpoint, Spurs are likely going to finish one place higher than they did last year. They're going to break their record points tally that they set last year as well, or look likely to. The fact that we've continued to progress, to me, is a sign that everything is heading in the right direction. I think they're a better team than they were last year. They, you know, we're talking about whether they bottled or not in this match. They bottled it so much less than they did in years past. So overall, I feel really good about it. I feel like the season, while it's slightly disappointing right now that they aren't contending all the way up until the final day, you can't be disappointed about the progress the teams continue to show. And at bare minimum, even if you consider it maintaining, like, the level that we spend compared to everyone else, like, yeah, absolutely. I'm perfectly fine with where it's at, Amar.
And you're finishing above Arsenal.
That's all that really matters. Like, that, and I, like, instantly bubble up a little bit. Like, well, at least we did that. And that is something that you can hang your hat on a little bit.
All right, I'll do a little bubbling up myself. Let's talk Chelsea. They played today with because of Spurs losing on Friday, only needing 6 more points to cross the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
They actually are in a weird situation because of, I'm guessing it's makeup fixtures for the FA Cup.
Yep.
They play twice this week.
Yeah.
They play today and they'll play on Friday.
So Monday and Friday.
Monday and Friday. So that means that by the time Spurs next take the pitch, the title race that they kind of relinquish will be officially sewn up.
Provided take care of business,
we win,
right?
On Friday. Yes.
Yeah, but I feel like odds are it will. I mean, look, the two teams you're facing in this week, what was it, Middlesbrough today. And then West Brom, who are clearly on the beach at this point. I feel like you guys probably will have this all sewn up.
Chelsea did win 3-0 at home against Middlesbrough, Brad Guzan. Spare thought for that man.
Ooh,
pour one out.
Three through the wickets.
Yeah.
Not.
Yeah, as the guys at the Men and Blazers pointed out, he got megged. He got the nutmeg hat trick.
That's the worst type of hat trick, I think.
Yeah.
For a goalkeeper.
Possibly,
in particular.
Yeah.
Outside of maybe three own goals from a goalkeeper, I'd
have well, there was a few minutes there where he was credited on that second goal. And they took it away from him at halftime.
Rough go, Mr. Guzan.
So Brad is already just closing
already,
his eyes and
already in MLS.
Wanting just, I wish I was in Atlanta.
Few have said that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially in
Take me to Bobby Dodd.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he'll be heading there just in literally
weeks.
Like a week and a half.
Yeah.
Get
me out of here.
Until then, he has to play for a team that is completely quit. And their job is now done.
Yeah.
They are relegated.
Bye-bye, Middlesbrough.
Bye-bye, Middlesbrough. Let's talk about that. Let's transition to Middlesbrough. So Chelsea, they just need three more points. Again, 3 points away from glory. Conte, though, real quick, a chance to win the double in his first season.
Not too bad.
First season in England, you're on pace to get the double.
Yeah, I mean, he was just named PFA Player of the Year.
The manager.
What's that?
I was talking about the manager.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Conte.
Well, we can talk about him, too.
Oh, that's Conte.
Rewind.
Hey, either way, we'll leave it in. One, that's a tremendous turnaround given where the team were last year.
Right.
But two, like, that's a hard gig to get done. Like, in your first year winning a trophy, period, is difficult. Now to actually pull this off and have this turnaround, I think it's quite the accomplishment. And he's doing it on the backs of players like Conte, who was handpicked away from the champions from last year.
Mm-hmm.
And is now slotted right in, and as I mentioned a minute ago, winning the individual player of the year accolades. I think he's a big reason why you're seeing such a shift and change within that Chelsea team this year, doing a lot of the work that a lot of the Chelsea players don't like to do.
Well, I think he is so critical to the formation that was put in place.
Absolutely.
Like what he adds, like everyone else has tried to duplicate, hey, let's go three at the back. But what having a guy like N'Golo Kanté right in front of that, what he can add to that and the space he can cover within that,
mm-hmm.
adds like a new dimension to the whole three at the back.
Well, he's just such a workhorse that he allows you the flexibility to go at it with less defenders. And he puts in that effort at every corner of the pitch. My favorite moment with N'Golo Kanté this entire season was when he hit a through ball to himself. There was like someone checking back towards the ball and they didn't really read the play at all. And he hit a through ball through and he just literally outran everyone.
And just got it.
And picked up his own pass. It was incredible. And it's just a testament to the type of player that he is and what he's brought to the team this year. So, I mean, at this point, you've got to be all smiles about the way the team have turned themselves around this year.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Obviously, next year, it'll be Champions League added on, the title defense. You got to figure the other big clubs, you know, Pep Guardiola, a year wiser in the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
Jose Mourinho, year number two is always the sweet spot for him.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have to go get a lot more. As far as reinforcements, and apparently Diego Costa is going to China.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have some cash to spend for that.
Yeah. One would wager you're going to spend it all on Mr. Lukaku, bringing
Lukaku?
Him back.
Lukaku?
The old, we sold you off for less than we're going to pay to get you back.
That's how we roll.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we roll. Did it with Matic, we'll do it with you.
maybe even a certain curly-haired guy that plays in the back, too.
Yeah, did that, too.
It's the Chelsea way.
Yeah, let's go to Middlesbrough, though.
Mm-hmm.
They are now officially out. So we have two relegated sides.
Yep.
One spot left. But Middlesbrough going down. This is a side that from 95 to 2009 were in top flight English football.
Mm-hmm.
They go down in 09. And this is their first time back up since then.
Yeah. It was a long
since
stretch.
That long run.
It was a long stretch for Burrow out of the top flight. And people often forget Burrow were like a fairly decent and competitive club during that stretch where they were up in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And you look at, you know, some of the guys who were pretty influential in English football that played there and had a role
sure.
there. Gareth Southgate, now mm-hmm. the England manager, that's where he got his start as a manager, literally like retired and became a manager the next day. For them, you look at some of the other, like Mark Schwarza, a guy who played for Chelsea and goal mm-hmm. was a big element of that. Mark Viduka, who was a big portion of the Leeds side that was fairly successful in the early Premier League years too. I mean, there have been a lot of really big name players that have been there. Jonathan Woodgate, you know, another one that was a big English player there for a while too. So in some respects, it's sad seeing them go back down, but it also seemed like something that was written on the wall from a pretty early on point in the season. And before the year, we were
very high.
We were very high. And I'm like, hey, they've made some good signings, you know, bringing in Alvaro Negredo.
Yeah, Negredo is this great little loan pickup.
Yeah, was not a great loan pickup.
No, he did very, very little.
Yeah.
So they're at 28 points right now. Their worst finish ever in the Premier League was at 32 points in 2009 when they went down. So they actually, not only are they going down, but they also have a chance to have their worst performance ever in the Premier League.
Yikes.
So, fun times.
Yeah, this was a team that completely struggled to score throughout a majority of the season. Found a little bit of a touch towards the end of the year, but this game is another one of those illustrations about just how poor they are at actually finishing and getting themselves into those type of positions.
Well, you mentioned that. So they only scored 26 goals this season.
26 goals.
26 goals. Gave up 48.
It's not a recipe for staying up.
No.
So Middlesbrough joining Sunderland in the drop. And
one spot remains.
Who wants it? And it's
Hull City? Do you want it? Because you acted like you did this weekend. As we jump into the other matches, and let's start at the bottom. As Hull City, in need of points to stay alive, go out and get rolled by zombie Sunderland, already dead Sunderland.
Classic Sunderland, though.
Like, yeah.
Waiting until it doesn't matter. In the campaign, like, you're already down, and they're like, hey, you know what we should do today? Let's go out and get a big 2-0 road victory. Like, incredible scenes. Let's give them our best, guys. If you are a forlorn Sunderland fan, the one that we all got to see pass around the internet, he literally committed suicide over this result.
He was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm out.
I can't do this anymore.
So they're now in 18th. Mm-hmm. They are on 34 points, two matches left. In 18th, they fall because not only did they lose
to Sunderland.
To Sunderland.
Mm-hmm.
Swansea won, beat Everton 1-0.
Yeah, talking about zombies, Everton looked quite like zombies in this match. Not the type of zombie.
That is a on-the-beach team right there.
Yeah.
They got European play for next year locked up. They're going Europa.
Mm-hmm.
So they're, I guess, excited about that. I don't know if they should be, but they are.
Romelu Lukaku looking like a guy who is like, why do I need to score goals anymore?
Yeah.
Don't need to do it now.
He's already
I'm going to get my move. I'm going to get it.
I hope I get my parking spot back at Stamford Bridge.
Mm.
Actually, I want a better parking spot. I want Costa's parking spot.
It all depends on if Thiago leaves or not, huh?
I'm sure Mourinho made him park in like the like two blocks down the road.
Yeah.
This has just not been an amazingly enjoyable season for the fans. Impressive season by their players.
I don't know. At times, I felt like we were
sure. At times, but I think that every year there's always been at times.
Sure, except for that Roberto Martinez last season in charge. But I think you're right. There are times this year where we're like very high on this Everton team. They're like, oh, they've got it put together. You know, they're a fun attacking unit. And then they slip up like this in a way that's like, there's really no reason at all you should be losing to a team like Swansea. Obviously, Swansea have a lot more to play for at this point, but it is kind of like the Everton season in a microcosm, like looking really good through stretches and then falling into a visible land afterward. Like,
yeah.
That's exactly what they did in this match.
This is a team that beat City 4-0.
Mm-hmm.
4-0 back in January.
Seems a lifetime ago at this point.
100 years ago, based on their current form.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about some of their smaller pieces. What you know, where's Ross Barkley going anytime soon?
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about how
Do you feel like his stock has dipped somewhat?
Oh yes.
Like significantly, where like almost Everton will benefit from like there won't be that many suitors, so he'll just hang around.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly what's going to end up happening. I think the typical English youngster tradition unfolded in Barkley's case. A lot of hype, a lot of people high on what he's capable of, and then by the time like it comes to the proving point and where you have to stand on your own two feet, he just kind of fell flat on his face, and maybe it was the weight of expectation keeping him and pushing him down. But yeah, I think his stock's definitely fallen, and whether or not someone takes him, it's not going to be one of the big clubs that takes him. It's going to be... I say one of the big clubs. Maybe someone will find some value in him and say, like, hey, let's buy him now while his stock is a little bit lower. But
it'll be one of those slightly under that next tier down, you know, like an Everton.
An Everton. You know where it actually seems like the perfect place for him to go? Hey, why don't you come over and be sexy?
Sexy at Stoke.
You know what I mean? Doesn't that seem like the right place for him? Doesn't he seem like the type of luxury offensive player that Mark Hughes is like, I'll overspend on that. Sounds like a good idea. Let's bring him in. You can be, you can play with all my ex-Barcelona players. How's that sound?
And Joe Allen.
Yeah. Bearded Joe Allen.
So Swansea, one above the drop. They're at 35 points again. Hull City, 34 points. Right above them, our friends from the summer, Crystal Palace.
Yeah, we thought they were safe. It seemed earlier this year we had said, man, they are really in trouble. They're probably going down. And then they had a brilliant little Big Sam renaissance,
mm-hmm.
and seemed to have hauled themselves out of trouble.
Sure. Beat Chelsea, beat Liverpool just in the past couple weeks.
Yep. And then you lose 5-0 to Manchester City, and suddenly...
That's not going to hurt the goal differential.
No. Oh, no, no.
Yeah, that won't help that at all.
That will be perfectly fine. And suddenly they're back in it, though. And it's unlikely that they get dragged in.
Sure, unlikely, yeah.
But have things weirder than this happened? Oh, yes. And it could definitely happen.
And then Watford and Burnley, right above them at 40 points. Watford lose to Leicester City, who has really had that second-half resurgence.
Mm-hmm.
Especially now that they're out of Champions League, so they're just focusing on just a good, solid finish. To this 2016-2017 campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And then Burnley drawing with Mighty West Brom 2-2 in that match. Let's go back up to the top. Let's talk about we know where Chelsea's at.
Mm-hmm.
We know where you guys are at.
Yep.
And then you kind of take a little step down, and there's that 3-6 where it's
pretty tight.
Pretty tight.
Mm-hmm. So currently sitting in that third spot, Liverpool hanging on by a thread, not doing themselves any favor with a 0-0 draw at Southampton. Yeah.
Snoozer.
One horrible game, like wretched game to watch. James Milner, trusty from the spot all season long, missed a penalty in this one.
Oh, yeah.
Fraser,
got it saved.
Fraser Forster, by the way, baller save. Like, yeah. An incredible save.
The ball was, like, still in play, and yet his teammates were, like, running over and, like, hit him in the chest, like, yeah, how about that save?
Like, he's like, no, pay attention.
The ball is still in play.
We're still playing here. Really enjoyed that. Forster is just one of those guys that is completely capable of any game going blinders and, like, having the ability to turn himself into a brick wall, and then the next game being just as likely to crap the bed. So this is one of those games where he was playing out of his mind. Not that Liverpool were particularly sharp on the offensive end of things, but they definitely are in a position where they could have sealed up that third spot for themselves and really assured themselves Champions League football for next year, but they couldn't quite do it.
No, they couldn't quite do it. We mentioned, though, City right on their heels, those 69 points after that 5-0 drubbing of Crystal Palace. And then conveniently, right below them, Team 5, Team 6, they played each other. United and Arsenal. Arsene and Jose.
Yeah. Lots of, like, narrative points in this.
Sure.
They keep
really just the one large one.
Well, yeah, it's the coach's one, but there's also like this whole like the Manchester United Arsenal.
Remember aura, when this was? Remember when this was the match?
Yeah, it was the match 10 years ago. Yeah. Has not been the match, literally in 10 years.
Yeah, when? Yeah, since what? Like back when in like the Thierry Henry Arsenal days?
Like, yeah, pretty literally. Much. Like once Arsenal settled for fourth place trophies every year, it became a matter of like. When Sir Alex left, like, all of the rivalry went right out the door with him. Like,
right.
It just stopped being a relevant fixture. And
you'd almost think here would be the point where that would ratchet back up, because you have a built-in nemesis. Mm-hmm. Arsene versus Jose. They've hated each other. They've mm-hmm. flipped ties on each other. The rivalry renewed. Arsenal and United are back to being this blood rivalry. No.
Yeah, even with all that was on the line in this particular game.
It just felt so empty.
It really did. And I think part of it is because, Mourinho didn't give a crap about this game.
No. Like,
it was very clear from the lineup that he
has one goal between now and summer, and that's the Europa title.
Yeah, literally every
single... He gives zero craps about anything else.
Every single chip that United have right now are in the Europa League basket. Like, there's no other focus at all for them. And it looked that way in this match. And Arsenal... much in the way that, like, it was so classic of Sunderland to get a victory when it didn't matter anymore. This was one of those ones where, while Arsenal are still in the fight, they are, 6 points adrift of fourth place at this point.
I don't know if you heard, there's not many matches left. So
yeah.
They're going to have to... make it happen.
It's past the point where it's going to be effective, and that now is the time when they're getting the results that they needed. So... if you're an Arsenal fan, this has to be a match that pisses you off just a little bit. One, because Mourinho didn't respect you enough to put out an actual team.
Right.
And two, because...
Can he put out an actual team, though? Everyone's hurt, I thought.
Yeah, but maybe that's better for them in some respects.
Yeah. I mean, Zlatan's over here in Pittsburgh getting his knee scoped or whatever that is.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that a little bit later on in Winners and Wankers. There's definitely a place for that one.
Jose's comments afterwards.
Jose.
Excited for the Arsenal fans that for the first time ever, when he comes to the Emirates or the Highbury, they get to leave happy. That's the first time that's ever happened, and he was happy for them. That they got to live happy, because before they were crying and had their heads down.
Oh, Mourinho, even getting in digs when his team loses.
Yep.
And
that's why I love him.
The worst part is, for Arsenal fans, it's a completely relevant dig. Like, yeah, we beat you, but his point holds a lot of water.
It's the first time that Arsenal has ever got the better of him in the league.
It's incredible that it's taken that long, too.
Yeah. Any other matches you wanted to mention? I mean, there's some other duds. Bournemouth and Stoke 2-2.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we actually touched on all the other ones, so.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So depending on what club you back, you either have upwards of 4 or 2 matches left.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere around there.
I hate this point in the year where you're like, you're ready for the season to be done in some respects.
Yeah.
But then as soon as it's done, you're like,
what am I going to do
for the rest of this summer?
That's how I feel. Like, I want Friday to come and celebrate, hopefully, us
winning a trophy,
clinching that title. But at the same time, it's like Chelsea does not play on Saturday
for the rest
August.
Of the year.
It's crazy. Essentially till August.
It's crazy.
Like I had that notion this weekend when I was like, oh, they don't play it on Monday, and then like the schedule like Friday, so, oh geez,
yeah,
there's no more Saturday Chelsea match until August for me.
That's about how it's going to be, and no major tournament this summer to keep us all occupied.
No,
respects,
Chelsea's all
respects to the Gold Cup
and the Confederations Cup. I think is happening. I finally saw one advertisement for
it. Is it?
Yeah, I guess.
I guess this is the year it's supposed to happen.
Right. But... I kept going, I figured I'd see, an ad for this. And finally I saw, Telemundo ran an ad during, during Premier League. And then Chelsea is, for me, Chelsea are going to be in Asia this summer. So, I don't really get to watch them much, even in preseason tune-up.
Yeah.
I'm not going to wake up at, 2 a.m. to watch that match.
Well.
To watch, Ruben Loftus-Cheek captain a side of 15-year-olds.
Seems like something you would enjoy.
So, into the Champions League. One leg finished in our semifinals. And everything's done.
Yeah.
Ready to move on to the final.
Yeah, right? Pretty much we only needed one leg in all these fixtures. So let's start in the Madrid half of these things. Real Madrid getting a 3-0 victory in the first leg of the first semifinal.
I think he said that incorrectly. I believe it was Cristiano Ronaldo got a
3-0 victory. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. My bad. The irony in all that statement is the fact that everyone was kind of writing Ronaldo off in the round previous this. Being he's not at his best. The team has to sacrifice so much for him to be in it.
Right.
And it's like, hey, guys, have you forgotten that when you criticize the guy, he kind of lights up? And he did exactly that.
That was the purpose of that statue.
Yeah.
We're going to make him look ugly. So he goes and balls out.
Yeah. How dare they make a statue where I look a little.
Make him look like the guy from the Shining breaking through the door.
Yeah, he did look a little bit like that. Also has a little bit of an Elephant Man feel to it. A little disfigured.
So this is his third hat trick in the knockout rounds this year. Just in the knockout round. Third hat trick.
He also has more goals in the knockout round of the Champions League than he does in the group round of the Champions League, which is insane. He also has, it's a little bit of a tale of how the teams have performed in recent times. Ronaldo also has more goals in the Champions League than Atletico Madrid have.
Mm.
Period.
So they're moving on.
Pretty much. What was crazy too is everyone expected this to be a total grudge match. If you watched the last time, there was a Madrid derby in the league. Atletico's game is always keep it tight, 1-0 wins, and that's what they were able to pull off in that league fixture. And this time, Madrid just had the complete answer for them. And I don't think a lot of people give him the props that he deserves, but Zinedine Zidane has done a wonderful job managing this team. And I think everyone is real quick to give Simeone and Barcelona's coach, whose name is evading me all of a sudden, giving them the props as these club bred managers that represent their team styles and are really effective at what they do. And Zidane's doing the exact same thing. And I feel like just because it's Madrid, no one's giving him the credit that he's probably deserves.
Because you have this all-star lineup of players. This is Madrid. Anybody can.
Because the teams with all the star players always win everything.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's how it happens.
Yeah. I think you're right. Madrid are Real Madrid are the Madrid side that are likely through in this, despite the fact that we have the return leg yet to play this week.
Looking at the less than Real, Higuain finally scoring goals when it mattered for Juventus, as they get a brace from him to have a 2-0 lead. Those are two away goals, by the way. So, yeah.
A sickeningly superb defensive performance by Juventus.
Were you expecting otherwise?
No, but it was even dialed up a level higher than I was anticipating it being.
Peak Juventus?
It really was peak Juventus. Single-handedly keeping any sort of respect for Serie A alive at this point, too. This team is a phenomenal team. A lot of people just don't know a lot about him because it's a very unfancy league at this point. And it seems to me like if there's a year where the defensive mindedness is going to win out the Champions League final, I think this could be the one. This defensive unit is probably one of the best ever defensive units that's ever been assembled on a team. It's a really, really fun team to watch from that angle if you're into watching people get shutouts.
So Monaco going to need to win 3-0 at home tomorrow. Or no, on the road. 3-0 on the road. Tomorrow on Rotoruck.
Not looking good.
I don't envy that position. So that's your Champions League. It looks like we are headed towards a Real Madrid-Juve final in very sunny Cardiff.
Yeah. I mean, it's Cardiff is a town with a lot of footballing history.
Sure.
Two arguably of the richest histories in European football are going to be meeting at this match together. So differing styles. I think it's going to be a really, really fun match if everything pans out the way we're expecting it to.
Hey, let's go stateside. Let's talk a little MLS.
Mm-hmm.
There were matches.
Lots of them this round.
We had the MLS Cup rematch.
Mm-hmm.
Went differently.
Yes.
Than it did the first time around.
That did.
As Toronto get the 1-0 victory to slide past
Seattle.
That's my page loads here finally. Other results. Philadelphia Union, CJ Spong, hat trick. And Philadelphia Union, congratulations.
Finally.
You actually won a match.
Finally getting that victory. Only, I'd love to, I didn't look this up, but this has to be one of the latest first victories of the season ever in Major League Soccer. What is this, week 9?
Yeah. Yeah. Week 9, well, it is their 9th match for them, yeah.
So congrats to Philly for not being completely inept any longer.
Hooray.
Yeah.
And that was over. That wasn't just some slouch team. They played the Red Bulls.
Yeah. Red Bulls. 3-0
victory over the Red Bulls.
So a couple weeks ago, we had talked about how the Red Bulls were off to a slow start.
Uh-huh.
And what's happening with
them.
And
then things got better.
Then things got better. And
all
then,
as well.
Oh, and then they lost twice this week.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah.
DC United fall to Montreal 1-0. Mm-hmm. Columbus Crew won their match against slightly a team that they have a bit of a rivalry with in New England. They've faced each other a lot in the playoffs over the past couple years.
That's right.
So a little bit of bad blood, even though the key components, Shuttlesworth, are not around anymore.
Guy Kamara.
But a clean, concise 2-0 victory for the home side there for the Crew. So they stay up top there. In the Eastern Conference, it's Toronto, it's the Crew, and it's also a team that did not win a match this week, even though they've been really good so far.
Mm-hmm.
Houston 4, Orlando City 0. Rough one for Orlando City, a team that has been riding high early on.
Yeah, and they also ratcheted up a second loss in this week as well to Toronto FC.
Oh, that's right, they played that midweek.
Yeah, the midweek one, Toronto getting both victories, big for them, a team that didn't necessarily come out of the gates all that hot.
Yeah, sees them at the top, I believe, in the East.
Yeah, they are, and Giovinco now starting to find form, too. If you're...
So that is sorting itself out the way we thought that was going to be.
Yeah. It's like, hey, once that Italian guy like gets back in fit and everything again,
gets everything figured out,
he'll probably be okay.
Yeah, we're going to be fine.
And be okay, they are. Another match, another team that was in the two match area this week, Sporting KC getting one of those victories over New York Red Bulls 2-0 before then going to Minnesota. And Minnesota getting 2-0 victory over top of them, so reversing that fixture
around. Don't kill off Minnesota, that, you know, that thing that we kept trying to do.
Well, Minnesota, so they were horrible at the start of the season.
To say the least.
And we were all heaping all this praise on Atlanta. Like, look at Atlanta. They know what they're doing. Atlanta have not won in the last 3 weeks, four weeks now. And Minnesota getting some victories here and there. So,
getting some victories. They have 3 now on the season. They sit 7th in the West. Above Seattle. Above LA. Above Salt Lake. Above the Rapids. Those are 4 teams that have been in finals in the past, like, decade.
Yeah. 4 teams who have won a final in the last decade.
Let's move over to, I don't know, was that any other match? Yeah, you mentioned Atlanta lost.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta lost to NYCFC. Actually, a match that they played really well in.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of to their style. it looks aesthetically like, oh man, they're bossing this game, but they just don't finish.
Yeah. It's tough for them going in and playing on that postage stamp in New York, too. Big for New York week-wise, NYCFC also signing David Villa to an extension. I think a three-year extension, two-year extension.
Well, either way, a three-year extension, he'd be like 40, right?
Well, either way, they seem okay with it.
All right.
And he's a guy who's done fairly well for them. So big week for them. LA 2, Chicago 2, Bastian Schweinsteiger. Looking like a guy who really gives a crap about playing for the Fire, which is something...
Well, he body-slammed someone in the 90th minute to preserve a draw. That's
exactly what I was bringing up. An incredible body slam. If you haven't seen it, he legitimately body-slammed someone. Like, that's exactly what happened.
Took the yellow. A gentleman's yellow.
Yeah. Nothing gentlemanly about that tackle in any sense.
All right, that's domestic, but we have... We have our question of the week that you threw out. This was, I don't know, I guess something you just kind of stormed up in your mind.
It's actually it's a question that was floating around the FC Cincinnati offices this week, or our junior staff. A couple of them last week were positing the idea, like, you know, with Didier Drogba coming in USL, all these other stars or ex-stars, fading stars, however you want to say it, that are coming to our league. What would happen if someone like a Leo Messi, who's literally in the prime of his career, were to come over and play in American second division? How many goals would he, if he got a full season in, like he was with a team for an entire year, how many goals would a Leo Messi score in the American second division?
So Messi, stem to stern season in the USL.
32 games.
32 matches. I think he averages... five a game. I think he goes 160.
Holy cow.
160 goals.
That is a bold prediction. Good for you for making it. I'm of the mindset that a lot of people were making this prediction. We'll go through some of the responses that people gave us. But a lot of people are like, oh, there's no way he doesn't, you know, ratchet up a hat trick game. Three goals a game. For 32 straight games.
Yep.
Do you really think that's possible?
Yes.
Here are the reason why I don't think it's possible.
I think there'll be a couple games where he only has like one or two.
Mm-hmm.
But there's probably going to be a game where he has like seven.
Okay, fair enough.
Like there's probably some teams with a back line that's porous enough that he's just going to he's probably going to get about 15 shots on goal.
Okay.
And half of them are going to go in.
All right. I mean, I don't disagree with you. I think he will have an outlier game where he has seven. He'll have another outlier game where he has, like, none. But I just – for a league that's in a fairly big country, even if you're in, you know, in one conference, the Eastern Conference, for example, you still have to do a lot of traveling.
Sure.
And at the USL level, a lot of that traveling is not in the most – comfortable.
No, but you see, you're not following this through. He's gonna be like Jordan when he went and played minor league. He's gonna buy them like a private jet. He's gonna buy the team like a private jet.
But even if he does that, like, which Messi could totally do.
Or just a private jet for himself and then everyone else takes
the
coach.
That's the thing. So one, there's the travel to deal with. There's the contentious schedule. More matches in a week than what Messi's probably used to playing. Mm-hmm. In some cases. And it's a league that's very physically demanding. There are a lot of athletes in this league.
Sure.
Not necessarily a lot of, like, fine-tuned athletes in the way that they're, like, at the top of their game in the way that he's facing every week. But on top of that, we're not bringing, like, Messi and the rest of Barcelona with him.
Sure.
It's just we're dropping Messi into a USL team.
Service.
And that's the thing. When you're playing Barcelona, you don't have to worry about just Messi. Because if you just worry about Messi, then you're going to get burned by Luis Suarez and Neymar and Andres Iniesta. Like, none of those guys are coming along with him in this scenario. They distract people. They help create the space.
Sure.
He's not going to get the service that he has, the attention grabbing that he would have from his teammates. So,
all right, so what's your number?
You factor that in. I can't go anywhere north of 60. Like, I just can't do it. It's roughly two goals a game. Yeah. I'll go 64 to make it a nice round two goals a game. I think that's the max level he could go with it. Because there are going to be games where he's like, nah, not playing on that turf.
Oh, well, if we're going, Terry Henry, I'm not playing on that turf.
Why would
he's
going to
score by 15 the whole season because he's not going to play on 80% of the matches.
Yeah.
He'll play zero away games.
Yeah. The other thing, our good buddy Adam Maloney, he and I had a discussion about this. We looked at things like success rates of successful dribbles. He has like a 62% success rate in
otherwise, La Liga. You guys went deep on this.
Oh, game. Yeah. We went way deeper on it than you absolutely should. But like you look at, he has a 62% success rate on dribbles within La Liga. Like you have to add in like an extra 10% there. Also add in like he averages about 36 goals over the course of a season over the last 5 years in La Liga. Okay. So like it's not unrealistic to think that he would bag an extra 10-15% in this league too.
Sure.
So that's why I feel really good about that 60-64-ish number. Like it feels mathematically right to me.
All right. Well, what are other people saying?
What are some of the people saying? We did get the best response has to go to David D. Jacob 94. He just did a picture of Dr. Evil doing the pinky to the lip.
The 1 million.
So that's a 1 million. It's a 1 million suggestion from David. Best answer, hands down. Ryan Johnson. James Bond 00, I can't remember this, James Bond 106, he says, one goal, he would score, then some uncoordinated brute, probably from Pittsburgh, would whack him, and he'd say, F this, in Spanish, of course, and leave.
I think they got rid of that guy last year.
Well, they just re-signed him.
Oh, what?
Yeah, Romeo Parks. Literally, they just re-signed him.
What was he doing in the meantime?
I don't know. Breaking backs, most likely.
Hanging out in Rackley.
Yeah. Gage Magoda, longtime listener, frequent contributor, at least 50, give or take a few, depending on the team. He is averaging 36 goals a game in just league play over the last 8 seasons in La Liga. So Gage going the statistical route for us. Good friend Laura Christine, she says 795.
Okay.
I did the math for her on that. That's roughly 25 goals a game. Maybe one game he gets that.
He gets 25.
25. That would be absurd.
You got to figure, though, he drops a 25 spot and the league has to intervene. And oh, yeah. Like, yeah, we can't be doing this.
This is embarrassing. This is not allowing this to happen. our good buddy Brian, he offers up 69 because that's just nice. Typical.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. Some of the other responses. Adam Maloney, the guy I just talked about a couple minutes ago, he said Vegas over-under is at 80, under a hat trick per game. So he's a little bit along your lines.
Okay.
And then Jeff Tebbets, vitamin C soup guy, he says, is Barca included? We've already rolled out. They are not.
They're not included.
But if so, probably 70 goals. If this is just Messi on his own, I can see him with only 32.
Okay, what? Okay. Just... Obviously, we can't throw this back out on Twitter, but just for you, if you gave him one middle-of-the-road Premier League midfielder to service balls into him.
Yeah.
You give him Danny Drinkwater to just find the ball to him.
Yeah, just dink it up to
just,
him.
Yeah, just to kind of help him out to just move the ball up the midfield to
yeah,
him.
Yeah, I think if you give him that one extra player, like one class player that can find him, I actually think it needs to be someone who's a little bit more offensively minded that's going to be able to score goals okay. too. You know, you give him someone like a Giovinco. Like, I think that would be the perfect foil well,
that
for
would be,
him.
That'd be
it'd be unfair, which yeah. is what it would be to have those two players.
Two dudes, 5'8" dudes just running around, mm-hmm. just burning the place down.
That's right. So that's my thought process on it. But I think 32. There's no way he'd only averages a goal a game. Like I find that to be impossible that he wouldn't get more than that. But thanks to everyone who participated by sending in their answers. We appreciate it as always. And that leaves us with the final segment of the show.
Winners and wankers.
Mm-hmm.
You want to take the honors?
I'll do the honors.
All right. Who is your winner?
My winner this week, I'm going with Mino Raiola.
All right.
You know who that is? Does it ring a bell? He's the super one of the super agents that are out there. This is your. I love the agents.
I don't swim in these waters.
I love the agents. The agents are always fascinating to me. He might even be the agent. Nah, he's not. Anyway,
For half of Chelsea.
Well, yeah, for half of lots of teams. But what I loved about Raiola and this particular week was his absolutely amazing quote about Zlatan Ibrahimovic's knee surgery and recovery. Yeah.
In Pittsburgh?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, he's been over in Pittsburgh. He's been getting treatment from some of these world-class doctors.
Eating at Primanti's?
Yeah, definitely having a sandwich or two. Having a pierogi, hopefully.
Sure.
You would hope a pierogi or two. Excellent little place called Church Brew over in Pittsburgh. If you ever have a chance to go over there, it's an old church. It's been converted into a brewery. It's incredible. And they have amazing pierogies, too.
I just see him standing out on like a street corner in like a white undershirt with like a Steel Reserve or Steel City Ice.
Yeah.
40.
Yeah.
Just enjoying life.
On a crutch.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the quote from Raiola here was incredible. He says, his knee is so strong that the doctor said they had never seen anything like it. He has a knee that is almost impossible for a football player with a 20-year career to have. It was quite clean. There was no harm in it. Zlatan is so strong that the doctor wants him back after his career to research on him.
You hear that, MLS? He's good for a 3-year contract.
That is the most Trump-like statement from an agent that I've ever heard.
Didn't Trump have that where like he had that doctor come out with that thing saying this man is in the greatest health, the healthiest man of that age I've ever met.
Couldn't you just hear Trump going, there are no no knee is better than this knee, let me tell you. Like you can hear him saying it. It's so good. The best knees, simply the best, believe me. Like, you can hear him saying it. Like, that's exactly what happened there.
Maybe it was Trump. Remember how he likes to call in as PR reps?
Oh, that's true.
For his corporations.
Yeah. But incredible agent quote there. Definitely trying to set up his client for a big, fat MLS contract.
Uh-huh.
Someone will give it to him.
My winner, we go to the world of the Scottish Premiership.
Oh, I think I know what it is.
Hilarity ensued as the linesman during the Dundee Kilmarnock match, not feeling so good.
No.
Not feeling good at all. And he vomited.
Good for him.
Luckily, it was like the ball was out of play. Like the player was actually right there. Even the player came over like, hey, you don't look too good.
He did not.
He did not. He proceeded to vomit. And the head ref, Craig Thompson, decided, hey, I'm going to have none of this.
I've had enough of this.
And went over and gave him a ceremonial red card.
Yeah, what the hell was that?
I think it was just a joke. He obviously can't red card a linesman.
You can't. I'm not aware that you can. But it was one of those, when you first watch it, he's like, did he just red card the referee?
Yep, he red carded his linesman
for
barfing everywhere.
Good for him.
So, had a little fun out there with a little puke humor.
No one's against a little puke humor.
Not in Scotland.
Mm-mm. Your wanker.
My wanker goes to Vankies.
Ooh.
London Limited.
Yeah.
The owners of Blackburn Rovers. If you didn't see the news, Blackburn Rovers have been relegated to League One.
Yeah, this is a humongous club, by the way.
Yep.
Like, way, way too big to be going down that far.
Vankies London Limited took over the club in 2010. Just 2 years later, they were relegated out of the Premier League, toiling, really, in the championship this whole time. And then 2014, they finished eighth. That was the best they've done since they've been down there. And now, finally, the bottom has fallen out, and they're in League One.
Yeah.
So, as we've seen happen just far too many times with, as you say, big clubs, big historic clubs in England, owner malfeasance.
Yeah. It's incredible. I mean, this is a team that has won the Premier League in the modern era even. I mean, this is a catastrophic fall. Our good friend Dan McNally from FC Cincinnati.
From your job?
Yeah, from my job. He's a former Blackburn youth player, played all the way up into their reserves. And, you know, this is a gutting thing for him. This is watching a team that's been a power reverted into a joke, a punchline. So
I still remember when they went when they got relegated in 2012. Remember the lasting image of the of those final match?
There was I'll never forget it.
The chicken was thrown out.
Made this same joke to Dan today.
It was the chicken thrown out, and then the lasting image once the match was over is someone had thrown their like seat license or whatever onto the pitch, and it was just sitting there on the ground.
Yeah, you could
see it. On the pitch, just kind of just sticking out of the grass.
Yeah, it was amazing. Between the chicken and the season pass being thrown out there, it was literally like the best protest ever. And unfortunately, they're going to have to continue those protests given that we're slipping even further down the table.
League One. Literally, Wickham just missed out on being in the same league as them.
Yeah. Your ground's a little bit smaller.
A little bit. Only seats, I think, at capacity, I think, just around 10,000.
Yeah. My wanker this week, I'm giving it to FIFA again.
I can't imagine what this
is. It's never ending with them. They just find a way to out-clown themselves whenever possible. This week, I'm giving it to them for what I'm assuming is a rigged vote. There's really no other way of looking at this.
Excuse me?
Not that they have a penchant.
Let's not throw out these baseless accusations.
They've never been known for rigging anything. But in this particular vote, this was a seat that was up for their general counsel. Everyone had assumed that this was finally going to go to a woman. It did go to a woman.
Yay!
Problem is, the woman they gave it to is definitely the one they should not have given it to. Everyone had kind of assumed that it was going to be Australian Moya Dodd, who had ended up getting the nod. She's been one of the most outspoken members of the FIFA kind of upper class over the last few years.
They don't like that.
Yeah, they didn't. And they arranged for a Mafuza Akhtar from Bangladesh to end up getting the seat. Good, okay, a woman. We're not against that. That's fine.
Yay!
Problem is,
uh-oh,
her credentials are she's been running Bangladesh's women's football program for, quote, years.
It's like 18 months.
Sure. And when asked who the current women's, like, world champion is.
I love this, her response here.
North Korea.
Right.
North Korea.
North Korea. I mean, in North Korea, that's probably the news that has been spread, that they...
I don't doubt that
World Cup champions.
The dear leader has inspired them to a championship, at least as reported within the country.
I mean, this is the guy whose dad played a round of golf and shot an 18.
Yeah. It's incredible.
It's pretty good.
North Korea was her response. And then, when pressured to be like, hey, are you sure about that? She went, Japan. I mean, USA. So she got it right on the third answer.
But she mumbled with like no confidence. Like,
yes.
Was it USA?
USA? Maybe it was USA.
Yeah. Did you say USA?
FIFA.
Final answer? You want to lock that in?
FIFA finding a way to out FIFA themselves once again.
Did you also see what they did as far as sponsorships that were announced this week?
Oh, yeah. It was great.
Qatar Airways
is
a proud FIFA sponsor until 2022. You know.
Right when they post that.
Nothing to see here, folks.
No, not at all.
By the way, I was talking about this in the office today. Is that still slated to be a winter? A winter World Cup?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I got nothing on that one.
Hang on, folks. It's going to be a crazy couple of years. Which means that leaves us to the end of the show.
Yep.
As always, if you have things you want us to talk about, you want to get involved in the show, you want to answer a question, propose one for us to answer as well, please get in touch with us. You can get us on email, contact@wrongsideofthepond.com. You can get us on Twitter as well. Jeremy's at Jeremy Lance. I'm at Wrong Side of Pond. You can find this podcast in all of your favorite podcast locations. Hey, leave us a rating, please.
Let's correct that there.
Yeah.
Leave us a 5-star rating.
Yeah, those are the best kind.
You take your 2-star rating and shove it.
We don't want that.
Doesn't help us.
No, it doesn't help us
at all. Not helping.
Yeah, are you our friend or not?
Even a 4-star rating. Even like a very just like, hey, pretty good stuff here. But hey, if that's a 4-star rating, that's not really helping us.
Just passing us by.
So you take your tepid
non-5-star rating and stick it. We want 5-star ratings only.
Nothing else.
Nothing else.
If what you need to make that happen...
Feel like what people are hearing is 2-star ratings. Please give us those.
No, we don't want those. That. No, we don't. Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.